Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Our friend Jason Kantz, good morning.
Good morning.
I forgot to say yesterday was 1 month till your birthday.
1 month until my birthday.
And then that puts us in place, and then that'll be 2 months until Christmas. Yesterday, 3 months till Christmas. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
It is.
We can feel it in the air.
And then people also, enjoying the fall. Boy, we've had some warm weather this fall.
We have. Yeah, it's been, it seems like we say that every year, but a weird weather year. A nice, mild summer, and then staying warm into the fall, and I don't know.
Well, beyond a weird weather year, I think I also posted on Facebook this morning that something that I said, it's a crazy, crazy times in which we live.
It is. That is very true. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep putting your, try to take one step at a time, walk it out day by day.
You know, yeah, I did yoga the other day for like the second time in my life. And
nice.
That was different.
Yeah.
But there is that focus, in terms of like breathing and, you know. I think I'm going to play. Go ahead.
I like the child pose.
Okay.
Yeah, where you just put your head down on the floor and don't have to do anything.
Yeah, some of the lingo I'm not, all caught up with. Sandy, I think, was our instructor there. So.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, I don't know. I was giving some thought to, in the Old Testament with Israel, they just determined they wanted a king. Everybody else had a king, and they wanted a king.
Right.
And God, pretty much the message is like, I'm enough for you, really. And they're like, no, we know better. We want a king. And so he gave them what they wanted. It didn't work out so good. So I don't know. I wonder in our times how, it's not the same thing at all, but I wonder if there's that sense in which we could look for a government leader to be, if we feel like God's not making things work out circumstantially the way we think he ought to, so we want to look to a government leader to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the human tendency is to do that. We seek after power. We look in the wrong places for that. And unfortunately, we have these stories in this book that we've received, the Bible, right? And we don't really learn from them. I think you're exactly right. God had said, hey, this isn't a great idea. And they said, no, we know better.
Mm-hmm.
And then chased after that. And you're exactly right. That did not turn out great. Saul was not a great leader.
Santiana, who said that if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And somebody else said, I don't know who it was, that I've seen recently, that the thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, for sure. I had shared a quote yesterday, and I'm not going to find it, but from Hannah Arendt, who was who's a historian, political theorist, right, from 1906, 1975, she died. And, reading some of her stuff, including the quote I shared, it's just like, wow, are we doing the same sorts of things?
I've got it. She says, this constant lying is not aimed at making the people believe a lie, but at ensuring that no one believes anything anymore. A people that can no longer distinguish between truth and lies cannot distinguish between right and wrong. And such a people, deprived of the power to think and judge, is, without knowing and willing it, completely subjected to the rule of lies. With such a people, you can do whatever you want.
Right. That's a brilliant statement. Is when there's so much deception, you don't know what's true. The people who are telling those deceptions can basically lead you in whatever direction they want.
The election's 40 days away, and so, God, give us some smelling salt. Help us to distinguish between truth and lies.
Amen to that.
All right. I guess just one verse today. It's Acts 8:25.
And that says, if I can find my Bible, after testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news.
Uh-huh. And you say in Letters to the Beloved, after this, John and Peter returned to Jerusalem, but they continued preaching the good news of my kingdom along the way. Final thought.
Yeah, that's pretty much just stating it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, living in the world we do now, what does it look like to be people who are continuing to share the good news, even when it may feel hard to do so?
Mm-hmm. And I guess the bad news can precede the good, but ultimately, in the end, it's not just the good news, but the best news ever. Thank you, friend.
You bet. Talk to you later.
Our buddy Jason Kantz on WWIB.
Well, I don't know if you've ever wondered this. I don't think I've ever paused to reflect on it. But did you ever wonder how humans knew it was okay to eat tomatoes We will tell you the story, the tale.
Yeah,
from years gone by.
It is interesting. In fact, either our folks from many years ago tried foods and hoped to live, or they used animals to test it. That's kind of the way.
Yeah, but back in 1820, the tomato was publicly proven safe when Colonel, and it's not Sanders, but when Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson stood on the steps of a courthouse in Salem, New Jersey.
And he ate a large number of tomatoes without any adverse effects. What, did he eat them like an apple?
Now you're wondering why in the world, and that doesn't sound real great to me. I like tomatoes in other things or on other things. But anyway, up until the end of the 18th century, so late 1700s, physicians had actually warned against eating tomatoes. The doctor said, don't do that. Don't eat those things.
Yeah, fearing they cause not only appendicitis, but also stomach cancer from the tomato skids adhering to the lining of the stomach.
How far we've come in medical science. But thanks again to that brave soul, Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson, who said, hey, everybody, these are delicious. I'm going to eat some tomatoes, and as long as I don't pitch over dead, you all can eat them too.
You know, I had myself a wonderful, delicious apple, as wonderful as a snack between lunch and dinner yesterday. But, you know, I still, like you, I like tomatoes. Don't think I'm going to be taking a big bite out of one.
Tomatoes are one of those things, too. But I know tomato sandwiches, a lot of people. My mom still does that, too. Fresh garden tomatoes and get, like, some toasted bread, put a tomato on there, maybe a little salt on top, too. And so know a lot of people who really enjoy that, too. I kind of like to see the tomato flavor mixed in with other things. But but I've come around a little bit.
Put a little bacon and lettuce on that, some mayo. You got yourself a BLT.
So we're officially into autumn, into fall now, and as the seasons change, there's a lot of things people get excited about. Pumpkin patches, apple orchards, boots, jeans, hoodies, etc. But 7 in 10 of us, 70% of Americans, look forward to this aspect of fall as much as they look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, to the holiday season.
Yeah, and it is tailgating. Yeah, 7 in 10 tailgaters express that they're just excited for that as they are for the holidays.
That is really intriguing to me. Now, again, tailgating, definitely see the appeal, but I don't know that I would say, hey, I'm looking forward to this as much as Christmas. But for a quarter of respondents, the tailgate itself is the main attraction, with 24% saying they've attended a tailgate even without tickets to the game. They just want to be around the other people having fun and eating the food, I guess.
I think I heard about that. You know, of course, the Packers had their home opener here a week and a half ago, and heard talk that, you know, they were there very early. And the one Brewer game I went to this year at American Family Field, I mean, we didn't tailgate, but so many folks out there. And there's a whole bunch of things that go into it, Caleb, in terms of the planning. You get your little mini grill and the table and the goodies and the beverages and the snacks. And so people really enjoy it. And again, you know, bonding with family and friends. So.
And it's amazing how complex the setup gets for some people as well, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real. When you look at some of these stadium parking lots, it's crazy. Now, most people, again, as they survey tailgaters, believe that the ideal tailgate consists of 12 people and the top must-have foods include burgers, hot dogs, and chips. Sounds tasty.
Yeah, that does. Sounds terrific. So the thing is, I think we'd be excited if we were invited to a tailgate party. 10th Avenue North on WIB. Good morning, 55 degrees, the WIB Wake Up Show.
Dropping some knowledge on you on the WIB Wake Up Show. We call this Four Things You Didn't Know Yesterday, some random factoids that we have in front of us. And you know what? This could spark a conversation at the water cooler, the dinner table. You say, hey, I learned something today on WWIB.
People would be impressed with how much you know. For instance, did you know that the world record for the most people opening canned beverages at the same time is 2,344?
Here's the thing. Even though I don't drink a lot of pop, there's still something really satisfying about popping open a can, right? And I really like that. So I would have loved to hear that sound of over 2,300 people doing it at the same time. Four things you didn't know yesterday here in the WIB Wake Up Show. It is estimated that there are about 20 million camels in the world. I didn't know the camel population was that high. 20 million of them.
Wow, that's exciting. That's interesting. I didn't know that either. It takes between 8 and 9 minutes for the light to get from the sun to the earth.
8 to 9 minutes. Four things you didn't know yesterday. Final one here on the WIB Wake Up Show with Caleb and Halvo. The first soup, they believe, was made about 8,000 years ago. The first soup was made from hippo meat. Hungry for some hippos.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that. That could have been a trivia question.
I feel like hippos don't give up their meat very easily. They are quite large.
It's so fun dropping the knowledge. I got to go with a bonus one. We shared this after the 6:30 weather. Our number for the day Did you know that there are 24,470 dairy farm operations in the country? Something tells me there used to be a lot more.
Yeah, but thank you to all of our farmers, as always. I think Culver's is actually doing something. Their salute to farmers coming up very soon as well, too. So thank you. Thank you to those in our agriculture industry.